If you'd like to turn with me and read in the 14th chapter of Job, we'll take our reading lesson. Job chapter 14. We know that Job had a lot of trouble. And I don't know that much of anybody could compare with what Job had. I'm sure there's a lot of people think they have had just about as bad a time as he did. But he stayed true to God through all of his troubles. And the Lord blessed him and returned to him more than what he had lost. Even though it's kind of hard when you lose your children to replace those, even though he had more, but still he suffered a lot. And he had a lot of insights during his suffering. And he wrote these words that we're going to read, the 14th chapter of Job, starting with the 12th verse. I tell you what, let me go back up and start with the 10th verse. But man dieth and wasteth away. Now, Job was aware that, of course, death would come, and sometimes he wanted it to come. And sometimes we get in shapes in life that we think it'd be better for us to go and die. And so he knew that death was on his trail. And previous to this, he was talking about plants being cut down and growing back. In some cases, anyway. But he said that man dieth and wasteth away, and which just means that they're weakened or cut off. And of course, when we die, there's no more life about us. And he's fixing to pose a question in a few moments concerning that. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? When the spirit leaves an individual, where is he? What's left for him? When the plant is cut down, the plant is dead, essentially. It decayeth. And that's what he's talking about, the natural body. When it dies, it decays also, it wastes away. But where is he? What happens after the spirit leaves that individual? And basically, that's the Bible definition of death, is when the spirit leaves the individual. As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not. Now, he's talking about the physical man. He dies. He doesn't rise up again to be able to go about his other activities, to have communication with other people, to do his job, to do anything else. Once he dies, he's dead as far as the physical body is concerned. But then he adds something else. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave. And this is one of those times when he just said, why don't you just go and take me, Lord? You just hide me in the grave. That thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past. That thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. And there's an exclamation point there. So he's very emphatic about this. And Lord, you know, what I'm going through, I just soon go to the grave and wait till all this passes, and then you can, you know, set an appointed time and you can remember me and you can do something else with me besides what I'm having to go through with now. And he asked this question, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. Now, our focus this morning is going to be on that question that he asked. If a man die, shall he live again? That's a question that mankind has been trying to answer all down through the ages. Most people have some idea that there's something after this life is over. There's a number of people that believe that once you die, that's the end of it. There's nothing else. It's just like an animal or like a plant or something that's cut down that dies and that's it. You're either burned up, you go to the ground, they put you in the ocean, whatever they do with your body, and that's all of it. And so he's asking that question. And I'm sure part of what he was asking the question for was his own reassurance. If a man dies, shall he live again? Because he was just previously saying, Lord, why don't you just put me in the grave? Why don't you just go and do away with me so I can get out of this misery that I'm in? But then there's that question behind that. If I die, will I live again? But then he shows us the assurance that he has. And he says that there's going to come a time that you're going to call for me, and I'm going to answer. I'm going to hear you, and I'm going to come forth from the grave, because you'll have a desire for the work of thine hands. Ephesians 2 and 10 tells us that we're created in Christ Jesus. And that's talking about the spiritual creation of our, the physical outward man was created in Adam. And then the means by which that people are brought into the world was through the relationship between a man and woman. And that's not a new creation other than in the process of putting together the seed from the man and the woman to create a new life. But that's a physical creation. But there is a spiritual creation also that takes place. And we're told about that in the 1 Corinthian letter. In the in 1 Corinthians 15th chapter, sometimes called the resurrection chapter, because it deals with this very thing and actually deals with several things concerning it. But in the 42nd verse, he says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. Now, when we die, it's because of sin. The wages of sin is death, the Bible tells us. So we're in corruption. We are corrupted. Our body is corrupting. That's why that we degenerate over a period of time. And as we age, eventually, the degeneration of our physical nature has come about because of sin, whether it's sins committed or sins that are in the world that causes disease and causes other things to come about, that our body corrupts itself and goes to the point that it can no longer sustain life, and God takes the spirit from our body, so therefore we die. So it is sown in corruption, talking about the body in death. And we go to the grave in corruption. It is raised in incorruption, talking about the resurrection. That's what he's referring to here. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. We go to our grave because of sin, but we are raised in glory because of what Jesus had done for us. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. This natural body gives out. It becomes weak and unable to sustain life. And so the Lord removes our spirit from us and we die. Whatever the cause of that might be, whatever the age it might be when it occurs. In the resurrection, we'll be raised in glory instead of in weakness. So these are three things that he talks about, talking about the natural body when we die. And then with the resurrection, we're talking about a new spiritual body. Now, the next few verses, he talks about that. I'm not going to read those and go into it, but he's talking about the natural man is earthy and the spiritual man is heavenly. And so the inward man that has the new birth is what we talk about going to heaven. That's our spirit that goes to heaven. Whereas this natural man will go back to the ground. So now we're going to be separated. The inner man is gone to be with the Lord, and the natural man is gone to be in the ground. Shall that man, that dead man, that natural body, shall it rise again? Shall it live again? We know in the valley of the dry bones that we're talked about in Ezekiel that that he says all these dead bones, and he said they're all put back together, and they're made new. And that's exactly what God will do with us in the resurrection, is to take that which is decayed and make us new. It could be whether it's a person that is in the ground, that their body has naturally decayed, and there might be some bone fragments left or some hair fragments that are left there. I don't know. Again, it depends on what the circumstances are. Again, people have been put to sea. They'll be brought out of the sea, even though that they might be devoured by the fish. They might be devoured by animals. They might have been burned or cremated or whatever. But God knows where all of the ashes are. He knows where all of the decomposition of our bodies are. And he's going to bring that back together. And then those of us that are saved, it'll be brought together in a glorified form. To those that are unsaved, I don't know what it's going to look like, but it's not going to be pretty when it's brought back together, because that body is still going to have to be reunited with its spirit that has been cast off into hell. And both body and soul will dwell in hell, whereas those that are saved, both body and soul will dwell with God in heaven. Going down to the 50th verse, he says, "Now this I say, brethren," and he's talking to the brethren, he's talking to the saved people here, "that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." So he tells us that this fleshly body can't go to heaven in its present state. Flesh and blood's not going to get there. We find two instances in the Bible that people were taken. Enoch was taken, and Elijah was taken by God bodily into heaven. But they still had to be changed in the process. And that'll be the same change that'll take place at the time of the resurrection to those that are alive and remain. So this natural flesh and blood body is not going to go to be with God in heaven. It's going to have to be made into a glorified form so that it can contain the spiritual body that received the new birth while we were here in this life. And so corruption cannot inherit incorruption. So that which was corrupted and dead in the grave cannot inherit the incorruptible spiritual body. Once again, we have that dichotomy, if you would, going on with us here. We have this natural body, which is in the decaying process, but it houses a spiritual body, and that spiritual body, to those of us that are saved, has a new life. It has that new birth. It has what Jesus called being born again. And we have a constant struggle, as the Apostle Paul tells us, between the inner man and the outward man. That the inner man desires to do the heavenly things, and the outward man still, because of the fleshly nature, desires to do worldly things, which can lead to sin and be involved in sinful acts. And so we have this constant struggle. But when death separates our spirit from us, and the spirit goes to be with God, it cannot come back and inherit a corruptible body. So that corruptible body cannot inherit an incorruptible spirit. And so there has to be a change. So he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We," and again, this is the saved he's talking about, "we shall not sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So that incorruptible man that is now brought forth from the grave will be a changed form. It will be without sin. It will be without corruption. If you'll recall, Jesus, when he was in the garden after he had resurrected, when Mary saw him, she told her not to touch him because he had not yet received his glorified form. He'd come forth from the grave, but he hadn't been glorified, and she's told he told him or she he told her not to touch him yet. Yet later he invited Thomas to touch him and put his hand in the side where he was wounded and in the holes in his hands. But when we come forth from the grave, and this is an answer, of course, to the question that Job asked, that we will live again. This natural body that dies will live again. It will come back to life. Either in a glorified form to go and be with the Lord, which is what he's talking about here, or it will be in a corrupted form, which the corrupted soul that is in hell will also take its place with that body, and both body and soul be cast back into hell. He said that there shall be a change that takes place. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. And this is out of Isaiah. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he says that this coming forth from the grave in an incorruptible body to be reunited with the spiritual body so that we might be able to go and be with the Lord in heaven is the victory that we have in Jesus. We receive the victory. We sing the song Victory in Jesus when we were saved, when we put our trust in him and our soul was saved. But the conclusion of that victory is when both body and soul will be in that perfect form to be in the presence of the Lord. And so thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, because that we have this victory, he says, we are my beloved, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So he's saying, because that we are going to be perfect, we're going to be complete, we're going to be incorruptible, even though that in this fleshly form now we're in sin, there's coming a time when we'll both have a pure soul and a pure body to go and to be in the presence of God. And because of that promise that's been given to us, because of that assurity that has been given us, then we should go forward in our service for the Lord, knowing that whenever the time comes and he takes us, we'll go to be with him in heaven. And then when our body is resurrected, that body also will be with the Lord in his presence. So we can be assured that there's going to come a time when he calls us forth from the grave, and that we will be with him in paradise. In the 50th division of Psalms, David wrote and told us in a couple of verses, in the 4th and 5th verse, he said, he shall call to the heavens from above, and the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. He said, gather my saints together. Now, saint is a saved person. You know, sometimes people refer to saints as being good people as far as their deeds and the way that they conduct their lives and so forth. And then if somebody, you know, slips up and does something wrong, say, well, I'm not a saint. You know, if you're not a saint, you're not saved. Because a saved person is a saint, according to what the Bible tells us. And the saints are the saved that God's going to gather together. He's going to call, he said he's going to call from the heavens. So he's going to bring those departed souls back together. He's going to call from the earth to bring those glorified bodies together. The saints, that they'll be together, that he might have them in his presence. He said, those that have made a covenant with him by sacrifice. Now, in the Old Testament, they made the sacrifices as a representation, as I told you last week, of the coming Christ. And the New Testament times that we make our sacrifice through Christ Jesus, because he's the one that made the sacrifice, but we put our trust in his sacrifice that we might be saved. And so all of those who have made a covenant by sacrifice is really by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the ultimate Lamb of God that was slain for the sins of mankind. And so those who have made that covenant will be those called together to be with the Lord forever. And we'll look at that just a little bit more in a moment. In the gospel account given by John, we find in the 5th chapter of John, the 28th, 29th verses, Jesus says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, that they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." So it's going to be a dual resurrection. Now, some people have misunderstood and mistaken the idea that there's going to be two resurrections, that there's going to be one just for the saints, and then there's going to be one later for those who are not saved. But the only place that there's talks about two resurrections is in Revelation, and that's talking about the first resurrection is when you get saved. Your soul is resurrected or made alive in Christ Jesus, and the second resurrection is the resurrection of the bodies. They'll come forth. And Jesus said that there'd be a resurrection for the saved and resurrection for the unsaved, and all at one time. Matter of fact, we can find that several places in the scripture, but that's not our point, so we're not going to go to those. But that there is going to be a reckoning for those that come forth from the grave to go and be with the Lord, and those that come forth from the grave to have to face judgment and cast into the devil's hell. So the bodies are going to come forth. There's going to be another time that the bodies are made alive after that they have died. And we're also told that those who are alive and remain will be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. That those, in other words, that are still here when the Lord returns, that they're going to have a change to take place too. Matter of fact, in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, 16th verse, said, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now, he was talking about just the saved people here. The others are going to rise also. But he's talking about the saved and what's going to happen with them. They're going to rise first, not first ahead of those that are unsaved, but first versus those who are still alive and remain. And they're going to come forth. So those that are alive and remain are going to see something magnificent for just a split second. That all these... Sometimes people, we talk about the graves bursting. I don't know if they're going to burst open or people are just going to come out of it. Jesus didn't have to move the stone to get out of the grave he was in. They moved the stone so that live people could go in and see about him. So whether the graves burst open or just whether the glorified form comes out, I don't know how that's going to work, but it's going to happen. And then those that are still here, then immediately they'll be changed to be in that glorified form also. And they all will go to be with the Lord and meet him and be with him in the air. They'll not be living with him here on the earth. They're going to be going with him to glory. And he said, because of this, because that we know that this is going to happen, he says, "Wherefore, because of this, comfort one another with these words." That should be a comfort to us. To know that there's going to be a resurrection of this body, that the frailties that we have here, that the hurts and the pains that we have here are all going to be gone, that the sins that we have here and all the struggles that we have to do things the right way and to live for the Lord in the right way, all that struggle is going to be gone because Satan will no longer have a bind on us. Satan will no longer have an influence on us because he's going to be right in the number of those that are cast into hell anyway. And he's going to be the chief one cast into hell. With all of those who have listened to him,
after.
All of those that have followed after his teachings, all those who have neglected the salvation of their soul through Christ Jesus, they'll all be cast into a devil's hell forever and ever and forgotten. They will be there, and we will have no memory of them. We'll have no knowledge of them. Because that's something that would not be pleasant to me to know about. But we'll have perfect knowledge of those that are in heaven. We'll have perfect knowledge of each other. And I don't know all the extent, but we just know that we'll be known as we are known. And so we'll have all, even if there is understanding of evil things that happened here, because of our perfect understanding, we won't be sorry for them, because we'll see the purpose in them that God used that he was able to get glory from. And so there'll not be any sorrow because of any thing that happened here on the earth. It'll be through perfect knowledge. You know, God is displeased with sin. He's displeased with our wrong actions. But he also has a perfect understanding as to why we do those things. And he gets mad about it, and his wrath is going to come upon us and upon mankind because of sin. But again, has a perfect understanding of it. So it doesn't deter from his love for his children. It doesn't deter from his love for the desire to see lost people saved. But once the time is no more, then all of those who have refused him are going to be cast into eternity without regret on his part, because it's justified on his part as being a righteous God to cast those who have neglected him and his plan of salvation to everlasting punishment. But to those who have believed, they'll be received into everlasting glory in an incorruptible form. So in answer to Job's question, yes, we shall live again after this body has gone away, that we will be in the presence of God that know him, because that we have put our trust in him in our life while we're here in the world. This is a pretty simple message on a basic concept of our beliefs. But resurrection is coming. And that, of course, that in itself is a big subject we can go on and on about. But resurrection is coming. There's a song I was looking at this morning. Matter of fact, Rusty Goodman wrote, "I believe he's coming back." I believe that too. I believe he was here. I believe he went away. I believe he's coming back. And he's going to come back and gather his to himself. And I just want people to be ready. That's what we meet for. That's what we get together for. That's what we glory in God for, is the fact that he is almighty and that he has provided for us a means of salvation, and he's going to come get us one day. Now, whether it be in our soul being taken from this body to be with him, or when he comes with the ultimate completion of the plan of salvation, and our bodies also are resurrected in perfect form to be with him, we'll be able to do all things we couldn't do in this world because of physical problems that we might have. But whatever there is to do in heaven, we can do it all, because we'll have a perfect body, like and fashioned unto the Son of God, that we will be as he is. And I'm thankful for that. And I believe most of you have that same promise that I have. Amen. And if you don't, then you need to make preparation, because death is coming and the resurrection is coming. And you're going to have to face the Lord, both in spirit when you depart from this life, to be received into his presence, or to be cast into hell. And in your resurrected body, you'll have to face him to be reunited with your spirit, to dwell with him in heaven, or to be reunited with your spirit and be cast, both body and soul, into everlasting punishment. May God help us to find our place in life to do the things that the Lord wants us to do, to help someone else, to point them towards Christ. Let's have a song. If there's somebody here that needs to be saved, then we want you to seek the Lord and give you this special time to do so. Of course, you can seek him anytime in your heart has need for him. But as we stand and we sing, consider your eternal destination and make preparation to meet the Lord.
turn to page 299 and sing the first and last verse. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name, glory to
going to be likened to Christ is the temple or dwelling place of our soul. And even our glorified body is in spiritual form because God is a spirit and we worship Him, must worship Him in spirit and truth. Jesus is a spirit, and even though that He had a human body in His glorified form, He went back to God in a spiritual nature. And of course, the Holy Spirit is a spirit. And so the only way that I can understand it at this point in time is to think that I'm glorifying form is also going to be spiritual. That's why I said I don't personally see that the graves have to open up for us to come out of, because in a spiritual nature, we should be able to pass through that without having to get back over and dig up. You know, just come out. In the presence of God in our spiritual nature, our glorified form will be a spiritual nature also, because we talk about going to be at the feet of Jesus, and you know, the millions of people that have been saved over the generations can't all get at His feet one time, but in the spiritual sense we can all be there at one time. It's just like His Spirit can be here and bless all of our hearts at one time. And I think in heaven we'll have that ability, because He's omnipresent, He's everywhere. It won't be like one little group over here buzzing up and having a conversation, and one little group over here having one. You know, but we'll have a and I don't understand it, but again, we'll have that ability to know everything that's going on with everybody, just like God knows everything's going on with us and everybody else all at one time. And so in that spiritual realm, we'll have a oneness in the sense that we all have the same understanding. All when communication goes out to everybody, so that everybody understands it, knows it, and nobody's left out with anything. And so I see it as the spiritual nature, the spiritual body being one as a spirit, and everything is done spiritually. And what we know of as natural things that we have here, even though that our body's going to be changed into a natural spiritual body, or a natural form of spiritual body, that we'll have equal access, equal knowledge, and equal capabilities in heaven. There's rewards that we get into and things like that, but the spiritual nature of it, I think that the spiritual body and the spiritual nature of it, we're one together, but we're in complete unison, that we don't have any division, we don't have any lack of understanding or knowledge in heaven. And I don't know if that even comes close to answering your question, but anyway, whatever it's going to be, it's going to be great.
Amen. Thank you.
Anything else? If not, we'll meet back tonight at 6 o'clock for a singing practice, and I hope you can make it and participate. Or listen if you don't want to participate. Then just come on back. All minds are clear. Go back if we'll be dismissed. Brother Terry, would you pray this?
Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for bringing us this way today. We thank you, Lord, for the good message of truth that we've heard. Ask you, Lord, to help us keep it on our hearts throughout this week and ponder on it. We ask you, Lord, to hear the prayer request that's gone out in this place today, Lord. Help us keep those on our hearts as well. Pray about those. We ask you to bring conviction to the lost. We ask you, Lord, to watch over us and take care of us until we meet again. It's favorable to ask in Jesus' name. Amen.